I didn't think I would want to start off a banter like this. I feel like it's low-hanging fruit. But I gotta talk about this.
Alright, I'm gonna say...
What?
I'm a little traumatized, because every time you start out like this, I'm just picturing you be like, it's a Jacarino, you know?
Oh, God.
No. I don't know if Jacarino will ever make a return, but if he does...
Okay,
if he does, I'll give you a... I'll shoot you a text.
Thank you.
Disney movies have gone to shit, and I want to talk about this because I feel like something occurred to me the other day when I was on Twitter. So they have completely gone away with 2D animation, which is tragic, and they've gone to this like full 3D animation thing, and it's probably cheaper to make. Maybe I don't know the real reason, but the thing that got me upset though was the fact that I saw that they do 2D concept animations for the 3D movies. So they don't do just storyboards. They actually full-on animate 2D versions of the 3D movies that came out. I saw one for Wreck-It Ralph, and it looked fantastic. Wreck-It Ralph was one of my favorite Disney movies. And then I saw there was like a 2D version of it. I'm like, what?
I hate to break it to you, Jake, but it turns out the new Lilo and Stitch movie coming out, there's also a 2D version of it.
Well, I know that one. But here's the thing. So because we have Disney Plus and because Disney airs some of their older movies all the time, The Emperor's New Groove.
Gold movie.
Golden.
Top tier.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Top tier fucking movie. The casting's great. The animation is obviously really good. It's simplistic in a way, but it has style. You know, it has a certain aesthetic that just, it is completely recognizable when you put it to like something else. Like it has a very unique style to it. And obviously humor far above and beyond. We can quote that shit for days.
Oh yeah. All day. That is a holy Gremlin movie. That is in the vaults.
Yeah. So I want to know, have you guys also noticed this with their 3D films, that for some reason the quality just gets lower and lower, but because Disney is made of money, they just keep doing it, and then they're like, wow, we keep making money. Let's just keep doing bullshit.
It's almost like they don't have to be creative anymore. They can just rehash all their old shit.
Oh, yeah, all the live-action, quote, live-action remakes.
I know this is just probably made from, like, what are kids responding to better is, like, the 3D. There might also be a cost factor in it that animating a movie might be more expensive than 3D animating it. I don't know.
I highly doubt that's true. 3D animation is crazy expensive.
I don't know. But it's funny because, on the other hand, this isn't like a one-to-one parallel. I feel like anime is just getting more and more popular, and there's just more and more awesome animes, and that's all animation. That's doing really well. You'd think Disney would still create some form of animation. I know it's not like the exact same audience, but...
No, you get a point there. And what's ironic, too, is that there's not many 3D animated animes that I'm like, wow, that was great. Most of the time, I'm like, yeah, they could have not done that.
Yeah. So, I don't know. There's not a lot of shows that just have really cool animation in anime these days, too. So, I don't know. Like I said, not the same, not a total parallel, but...
Yeah.
And they're live-actioning all their animated movies. Like, photos leaked of like The Rock dressed as Maui for the live action Moana while we were watching Moana 2.
I
was just like, or it was like a week before I saw like the leaked photo of The Rock dressed as Maui. I was like,
yeah,
what are they doing?
Nobody asked for this.
No one. Well, and that's the thing. They keep making I'm doing air quotes for this audio medium, but live action remakes. And like, they did it for Lion King, and it was terrible. It was one frame by frame shot, which, okay, all right. But don't call it live action when you didn't use actual lions. Okay, you're lying.
Yeah,
okay.
We need to recreate the movie Roar. Yeah. Okay,
we tried to do live action, but the lions killed at least three of the actors.
Look, really hardest tough, pain, guys. Baby.
Stop attacking the antelope.
They just won't listen. It's unreasonable.
They're
live beasts.
Somebody pointed out that if you look at like the 2D animation of like. Spoilers. When Simba sees his father die, and
what, James?
I know. I said spoilers.
I haven't seen it.
So there's like all this emotion, and just like hearing him say, is somebody out there, Eddie? But you know,
when I was watching that movie, this is the exact scene I specifically thought about. Like, yeah, that happened. I was just like, this feels nothing. This is nothing.
Yeah, that's because they did the 3D animation, and because of that, they took out all of the expressiveness that should come with that. Because they're made to look like actual lions. Sorry, lions aren't that expressive. Yeah. If you want me to feel it, I have to be able to relate to this character.
That was one of the big things with the Little Mermaid, and like, oh, it's like realistic. It's like fish aren't that interesting.
That was what I thought during the trailers. I was like, aren't her little fish and lobster friend awesome because? Like they're
not realistic.
Their jaws dropping, eyes fucking out.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? To break it to you, flounders look stupid.
Oh my God.
Also,
and they taste delicious.
That's true. Have you also actually seen a lobster? Those things are fucking horrifying.
Yeah. Hey, they're kind of adorable. Well,
yeah,
they're sea demons.
Yeah, they're kind of cute in their own little weird way, but yeah, they're not like appealing really to kids. Like until you like cutify them a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but if you ask me, like, what movie would be the worst one to do in a realistic format? It would be the Little Mermaid. Because Christ, oh yeah, let's go down to a deep dark seabed where nothing's colorful, even though the original movie was just
where's
colorful
the angler
and whimsical.
Fish?
Guess where's what? The bottom of the sea fucking sucks.
Yeah,
the bottom of the sea is horrifying.
There's nothing there. It's an empty wasteland of bones, mostly.
That would be an interesting spin if they were like Little Mermaid, and then it's deep sea. So you know, you got like anglerfish, you got like
the
creepy motherfuckers, like the giant squids that are down there. I mean, my God, that'd be cool.
The jellyfish with the 50-foot tentacles.
Yes, yeah, the man of wars and stuff. Yeah.
Oh my God.
There is an interesting side to this, is that all the things that are now going into the public realm, like Steamboat Willie and Winnie the Pooh, and there was another one I thought.
Popeye just recently.
Oh, that was it. Yeah.
Popeye.
And then they're making horror movies out of all of them, and like I know they're going to be bad.
I wanted to see the Winnie the Pooh one. I just never got around to it. But
I'm going to see it too, but I know they're bad. But you know what? I'm interested in it.
Honestly, so in the deep dark cellar, you just hear yuck.
Weird ass sailor comes out all roided up.
I mean, that's how you do it. You're like, there's a guy named Popeye.
The spinach.
Yeah, but like,
just like slather himself as a spinach and turn into a freak.
turn into some Guillermo del Toro freak.
I mean, you could just do it like an Akira type thing. Like, all the one arm is completely mutated and strong and shit.
Oh, yeah,
but
like
it's
that.
Only the forearm.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, he's already a weird.
He has to have all forearm.
I'm imagining the orc general at Minas Tirith. Crows with a weird arm and a huge arm.
And he just punches someone's head right off.
So the movie that inspired this conversation was have you seen Wish?
No,
it was came out in 2023. It was a 3D. Okay, I fell asleep to it.
Yeah.
Oh wow, that's what I heard.
I didn't hear anything good about that one.
Yeah, the idea is interesting. Let me give you the synopsis here. Is that like everybody has a wish? They have like a dream. Sometimes it's like I think some of them are like being a prince, and another one is like playing the mandolin in town square where everybody likes it. Like you know, total variants of like what a dream is to somebody. And then those dreams have power. This guy that owns the city, he keeps those dreams and he gives them out in like a lottery system. But there's a power struggle there is the whole thing. But like the characters were pretty uninteresting, and I just there's not much about it. Here's where I think that they went wrong with this one. Whenever you look at a movie from Disney, they always connect it to like a real world place. So like Mulan was in China. The Princess and the Frog was in Louisiana, I think. Is that where that one was?
Yeah. Pretty much New Orleans.
Yeah. New Orleans, yeah. And so, like, they have like, these, like, super, like, you know, super great places with, like, all this culture and history and just, like, then the style within them, you know, all the, everything. And there's nothing to associate that movie to. And so because of that, they sort of just don't have anything to tie to, like, recognizable cultures and stuff. And so I think that was one thing. They just, there's nothing there. There's nothing there to sort of, like, connect it to in, like, a real world.
The real world is magic.
Wasn't it, like, an anniversary of Disney and it was, like, a tribute to Disney movie?
And it didn't even have Mickey Mouse in it or
anything? Was that the one?
I don't know.
It was.
That makes sense. Okay. Yeah,
it was, and that was the reason why everyone's just like, wow, this is it.
We want to congratulate ourselves, and then we're like, all right, let's write a story around that, rather than coming up with a story and then writing a good story.
There's a magic wizard guy who's not good, and that there's a lady that's going to be like, she's going to have a sidekick that we could sell figures of.
See, that's the movie you called it. See, giving the background here does make me go, okay, so there's a background to it, but it's a background about yourself. And like, that's the thing, is that I don't know that.
It was like the 100th year of Disney or something, or 75 years, I don't know.
Neat, I still fell asleep, so.
Yeah. Don't break your arm jerking yourself off, Disney.
You know, maybe Wish wasn't the greatest, but Encanto is fire.
That was a good one. That one had so much style and excitement to it, and there was a good plot to it. Like, there was magic literally in it. Yeah, I mean, yeah, that was a good one.
I learned something today, and I want to ask Tim a question.
Oh.
Are you and Ariel aspiring to be in the Club 33?
Afford that.
he's gonna Google that right now.
Oh, hold on. Is Club 33 like the
it's like the VIP thing that like celebrities
Kelly,
do.
He
like,
can't afford that. None of us could.
It's like 12 grand to join or something.
It's more than that.
Like, it's annually like, it's like a 12 grand membership or some stupid shit.
Oh,
like
god.
That.
Today, is it really called? I thought it was called something else.
Is Club 33
Club 33. It's right here.
I learned about it on Twitter because apparently this couple got kicked out of it and they sued to try to get it back in, and they were denied their case, and then they went online and told everybody what is in Club 33 and like the celebrities that go there and how I forget who it was, like George Clooney like rented out the whole club to throw a party or something, or it was like Bill Murray or something did it.
I bet Disney really liked that one.
Like Miley Cyrus like everybody gets like a packet of tickets to like hand out to people, like 75 tickets or something, and like Miley Cyrus auctioned them off of her charity, and then Disney told her you can't give them away for charity, you have to just give them away.
I think I've actually seen a little tour of Club 33 in Tokyo Disneyland. It's like Teddy Roosevelt themed, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's all very strange.
There's merch that only Club 33 members get. And like people like buy it on eBay and shit.
Yeah.
This Mickey Mouse head was crafted out of pure ivory from a dead elephant.
It looks like all the same stuff that you can get at Disney. It just has Club 33 emblazoned on everything. Yeah.
It's a status symbol.
Yeah, I was gonna say. It's a power play when you walk around the park.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing with Club 33. I will say, because me and my coworker were talking about this like a while ago. But yeah, it is like I think $2,500 is like a upfront, and then
it's $35,000
for Disney.
What?
For Disney? Well, that's a combination of Disney World and Disneyland, because there's one in each. But you would have to get a membership to one or the other.
Yeah.
Or both, by spending $3,500. It is
goodness,
an ungodly stupid amount of money for probably mediocre food and trash.
Disney does well on their amenities, but
their food is very good.
I'm proud
to say I've never spent a single dollar at a Disneyland resort, and
I have no desire to ever go to them. So.
I mean, I do, but that's because I have kids. So
I
never went as a kid either. So that's, you know, I want to go to the Star Wars park. But anyway, well, there's a special club called Club DPS, and you're in it.
And you could be in it if you joined our Discord.
Flawless tie-in, flawless, flawless thank you, thank segue.
You. Tim, why don't you talk about our dice sponsor before we get into the episode? Yeah.
So, our dice sponsor, Black Oak Workshop, where dice is treasure. Where dice are treasure, I guess, because dice is technically the plural. Anyways, where dice are treasure. And as everyone knows, I'm the resident dice goblin. I can't get enough of dice. Side note, I followed an account the other day that does handcrafted wood dice. They're like $150 for a single D20. Totally worth it. But our sponsor has more affordable prices than $150 per D20, and they have fun, cute little designs. So the dice that I am rolling tonight are the Jolly Roger, Jolly Roger set with little skull and crossbones the highest number.
Heck yeah.
I really like the D4 because all the, you know, 1 through 3 are like on one side of the face, but then the rest of the faces are just the skull and crossbones. So yeah, you cool. know when you get a 4 on the D4. Which
there
is
it
sick.
Is. There that's it
all.
Is.
And I also really like it seems to be a pattern for all their dice sets, but their D6s are significantly bigger than like most other dice sets. You can kind of see a comparison. Gamer's Nexus, his D6 is pretty big, but most other D6s are kind of small. This one has a nice feel to it, and that's it. And like you can really get your fingers and trace the numbers, which is really nice. So yeah, check out Black Oak Workshop. They also have some amazing dice bags. And once again, we've been saying this, and we'll continue to say this: hop in the Discord, look out for details about our first giveaway. Because we got some very special dice we're coming away that may
cool
or
stuff.
May not be thematically tied to the DPS.
Sneak. I'll stop now.
We can promise you it's only going to roll the ones.
That's right. They have crossed a threshold of my dwelling, so therefore the dice will roll like trash. They're display only.
I will do my best to rub the Timmy off a bit. So the end of last episode, you guys were making some headway against the Noxious Needler and the Poisoners in this room, but we ended the episode with the two snipers you guys have been keeping an eye out for way down the hallway, and they are raining arrows on you guys. So hit Benson, I think once or twice, I think. But you guys know these things are able to, because they're able to hit Benson, these things hit. Because he had cover and everything else. But speaking of good archers, Elkwood, your turn.
Hey. Well, crap, I'm getting my thing up. All right.
Easy, buddy. So,
see, the thing is, I mean, the only thing he can really see is the Noxious Needler, like, and to take this thing out, this would be a boon. So, he is just going to... Hunted Prey already. So, yeah. Okay. Just trying to remember everything. Yes, Hunted Prey. So, he's only take a 2 action to shoot the Noxious Kneeler. Right. Just to try to knock this thing out.
To think thematically, Benson is just standing in this doorway fighting this giant wooden golem, and then he gets hit with 2 arrows. And just while fighting the golem, he just screams to back everybody, "Snipers!
Snipers!
Snipers!
Snipers!" That is a nice roll. That's a 40 to hit.
That's a critical hit.
Fuck's sake, man.
Wait, crap. Crit? Did you say crit? Didn't we need to crit this thing or something?
No.
No, you actually don't want to crit this thing.
There's
an acid on you.
Right.
40
right
crits?
Opposite.
Oh, shit.
Yep.
Well, maybe... okay. Well, maybe I might just take it out. Who knows? With that, perhaps. 71 points of damage.
All right.
What?
Pretty good.
That was a 9 on the deadly, but that was a, let's see, on the D8s, 3, 3, 3, 6, and then boxcars for the fire and lightning.
Nice.
So that lightning is also going to arc to this one and this one, so they'll
take... It's not
going to
get affected by fire or lightning.
The fire lightning's elemental.
Yeah, it's all elemental. How far out does the splash go for that thing, because I think one's within 10 feet, but the other one's 15 feet away, so I think...
However far I feel like it.
Okay.
10.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
10
like
feet.
100-foot radius.
10 feet. Okay, so it only gets the one.
This one, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
The one to the north, yeah.
Then we go to Alchemical Rupture.
Yeah.
So one of the chambers on this thing's body gets hit by this, and it explodes out 5 feet, only affecting Benson.
Damn it.
But let me see what happens.
Oh. I didn't want that, Mark. I didn't want that. Like, if the other one was still alive, then I'd be like, okay, but...
Okay, so I need you to make a basic reflex save.
Oh, perfect. You're great. Your best save.
At least Grimshaw's right there. All right.
And you get the bows from your armor, which is nice.
Yep.
Hold on, I need to pull up my shit.
I think you mean cheat.
Got him.
Okay. With my... It's actually not horrible. That's a 32.
Whoa. 32. That is a success.
Oh, shit.
But you're still going to be taking 15 points of fire damage.
Boo.
As fire explodes all over you, and Elku goes, oh, right.
I see it. I wasn't... At the same time, I was like, oh, crap, I didn't want to crit. But at the same time... I mean, 71 points of damage, so that's pretty good.
We'll take it.
Yeah.
Right.
Frank's not bad.
Yeah, and I still have one action left, so...
Yep. Credit again, obviously.
Credit again.
Well, plus 17 to hit.
Oh.
So, no. That's a 20.
Okay.
Oof.
That was a 3 on the die.
Yep. Okay, it is the Needler's turn. Needler is going to attack Benson all 3 times.
What? Why?
I don't know. It assumes you made it explode. 40 to hit.
Yep, that'll hit.
Okay. 18 points of piercing.
Ouch.
And 6 cold.
Jim, do you want to do a thing there? Or?
I was looking at the turn order, and I'm at the very bottom, so I think I probably would have damage mitigated from the snipers last episode.
Cool.
Oh, wait, no, I couldn't have because they were out of range. So, yes, I will do that.
Yay. All right.
Oh, my gosh. I forgot.
Yeah.
So dumb.
Libernetic, stop.
So, 13 off of that.
Thanks, bud.
Wait, could Benson then take a step?
There's nowhere I would take
a step. Yeah, there's nowhere to step. Yeah. But...
However, I will take a step, and I'm going to step to the south. That way, I'm not in range of the snipers.
Oh, good plan.
Or there
I'm just the GPS billboard for snipers right now. Yep. Don't worry. If you make it through, I mean, when you make it through this round, I'll hear you.
All the confidence in the world from Jimmy.
You just have to make it through about 18 turns. 2 snipers, a golem, and 13 poisoners.
Two total misses on the last. Nice. And it's your turn, miss.
Cool. I'm going to swing away.
Wait, Benson, hold.
Hold?
Wait.
I'm about to swing, and I hold.
Didn't Kezzer cast Feign Death or whatever it was?
He did.
Oh.
Yes. We forgot about that.
Yeah, Jake.
Oh.
Oh. So the Needler would have been attacking me.
Would have been attacking you.
Hmm.
I mean, does a 40 still hit you?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. So, in which case, I guess you can move yourself back,
okay.
And then you take the damage, whatever that was. It was 20... Oh, hold on. So, it was cold damage, so you can ignore that, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. It's only 5 cold, so I ignore all that.
Well, it was 6 cold, so you take 1. Take 1 cold. And then 18 points of piercing. So, John, give yourself that back. Okay. Grimshaw, you take it.
Yep. Do you want me to retributive strike that?
That's the question.
Because I can't.
If you did, you'd give away your position. So, and then the next 2 attacks might be on Benson, kind of like how it was before.
He could probably give you damage reduction without attacking.
To Jake.
Well, no, because your reaction works even when you're not in range of the creature, as long as you and the ally are within 15. If you're 10 feet away...
No, I'm pretty sure both have to be within your aura.
But you don't have to be in range to attack to use your ability, is what I'm saying.
That's correct, the enemy.
You can use the Retributive Strike without using the strike. You can just use it for damage reduction.
Well, okay, here's the question, though. Is Benson being invisible really valuable right now?
Yes.
Okay, all right, that's all right.
Well, then, yeah, I'll take the damage reduction then.
And I will hold my turn.
And you will hold your turn.
So I get the 13 points back because he's using Retributive Strike, but just with the damage reduction.
Correct.
Okay.
Benson's invisible and really wants to swing. He's like, nah, can't.
Are you holding till after Kezra then? Is that the plan here?
Is that the plan, Kelly?
Yep.
Okay.
I will move you.
All right, that means I have my reaction back.
Okay. All right, so here we go. Poisoner number two. She is going to... she feels very smart because she stepped back and did not get hit by the explosion from the Noxious Needler. Crossbow strike. On, I guess, Grimshaw, because she can't really see Kezra, can she? Right. Oh, she can barely see Kezra, actually.
That's shooting through a lot, though.
It is shooting through a lot, but that's what she was doing.
Okay.
Crossbow strike. On the caster. That is a 38 to hit.
It would have been a crit without all the cover. Just a hit.
Alrighty. 18 points of piercing.
Damn, Kezra's starting to look pretty bad.
Really?
I've been shot by a lot of crossbows.
Yeah, they know what they're doing.
The trap that went off.
Yep. Can't forget about the trap.
Stupid trap.
Make me a fortitude save.
These I'm pretty confident about.
I know. I keep doing them because it's... Oh.
Not good. 23. Oh.
Fail.
Oh, no.
Oh boy.
I'm using my hero point.
Okay.
By the way, I can get to the snipers.
Oh, yeah.
It's a new day. It's a new day.
Oh, it is a new, it's a new day.
It's a magical day.
Just wanted to remind everybody.
All right. Sure. Critical success that time. 37. Okay.
Well,
I'm just worried about the needler.
I don't want to get poisoned.
I will say I should have disallowed you using her point because I already told you to fail. Anyway, she will reload and shoot again. Ka-thunk. Miss.
Right on.
Kezra, it's your turn.
All right, we're gonna do something crazy, guys. Kezra,
just do it.
Moves up the hallway, right beneath Grimshaw. And you see this wild illusion aura go out. It's all the way down the hall towards Grimshaw, or towards Elk, and then expanding out into the room. And, or it's not an illusion, it's like something ethereal. And all of a sudden, Invisible Benson and Grimshaw teleport into the room in between all of the poisoners.
What?
Oh. As I use collective transportation or whatever it's called.
Oh, collective
transposition. You guys teleport anywhere in my 30-foot aura, and I teleport you into the middle of the room.
Okay, so about there.
Does everybody want them?
Oh, this is so good. I've been waiting to use this one. I'm like, I don't know if I'm ever going to use this stupid spell, but it's too cool not to have.
That is not a stupid spell in any way.
That's a fantastic spell.
Amazing.
That was the spell that sent Benson out of the tower.
I think it was the one that sent him out of the tower.
It was. Yes, it was. The very same. Okay. So after Kezra teleports the two champions in between three poisoners.
We got some work to do, Tim.
And Grimshaw is within reach of the Noxious Needler, but Benson is no longer in range, so that's good.
Right.
Benson, your turn.
And you're invisible?
And you're invisible still.
Does that give me any advantage to attack?
Yeah, they're off guard.
It makes them...
Yeah, they're all off guard.
All off guard. Okay. Yeah. First roll.
Yeah, when Grimshaw teleports in, they all go, but they don't see. They don't see.
They don't see the black cloak. Tim, 21 plus
15.
36. 36. 36. That's it.
So it'd be 38 off guard is not a crit.
It is not.
Ah.
It was 15 on the die, not a bad roll.
Yeah. No, wait, wait. Did you say 36 or 38?
36.
Okay. Yeah, no, not a great even off guard.
Okay.
It's okay. Which one are you going after again?
The one directly beneath Benson to the south.
Okay, got it.
All right. That is, let me check my numbers just so I don't fudge anything wrong. 20 slashing.
Okay.
And
you had a hammer actually, so that
bludgeoning.
All right. Doesn't matter for them, but
then Benson is going to swing up at the one that is directly above Grimshaw.
Okay. She's been hit a few times, so that's you know that you can. Oh my god!
Gotcha. Welcome to the Benson Blender.
This is the Benson fucking Blender.
And this one's bludgeoning because he's got the hammer. So
yeah, yep. I'm not sure it's gonna matter for this one. Busted shin. Until healed, the target is clumsy one and takes a 10-foot status penalty to its land speed.
I mean, nice. Double damage. Clumsy one is something. Yeah. Clumsy.
Double damn.
Clumsy one.
36 points of damage.
All right.
That really doesn't do it.
Rip. No.
All right. Nope. Swinging at the one to the last one that's surrounding all of him.
You could. Okay. You could also move yourself into flanking. Nah, whatever.
Play yeah. Do I want to do that? I will do that. I will move into flanking so that I can
give Grimshaw better chances on his hits.
That well, that's actually, great. No, wait. If I move that there, could, I'm going. They can shoot me.
Yeah, that's probably not the move right there. Because
right here, I'm in cover. Actually, more than cover. They just don't have line of sight.
You guys should say exactly. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, just
hit. All right. I'll swing for the fences, hoping to get a crazy roll. No, that was an 8 on the die, so that's not going to hit. But I did some fucking damage.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
It sure did. Okay. So this is the Scarlet Tribe Poisoner 3, the one who believes she is blind, because you, well, no, she believes darkness was casted in the room.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So she's gonna be like, we need somebody to dispel it! There's dark, they cast darkness! So I guess she would know that you're in there, but she doesn't know where you are because of darkness, so I guess she will just try to perceive where you are, even though you're. This is so fucking weird. This is so stupid. Alright, so.
This is so funny.
I know. It's just like. Oh my gosh.
How badly would a real darkness spell have messed up your fucking sniper plan?
Yeah, for real. So she fails. It was a 2 on the die with a. Well, I mean, her perception gets her to a 15. So. Unless you guys have, oh no, actually no, that won't work because I think that you guys have. What is your stealth more than 5?
Stealth DC would have to be it'd be 10 plus your stealth.
Okay,
and it's my stealth DC is 26. Effectively
blinded to us, which means she takes a minus like 4 to all sight-based perception checks.
Okay, well, I mean, she can
no, it's, you immediately she can fail all sight-based perception checks.
Oh, interesting.
That's what blinded is. So, like, if they couldn't see, then, like, she would not be able to pinpoint their locations precisely.
So, in which case, she can hear you guys striking in there. Like, that, you can't hide that. But, I mean,
you can't hear a spot on the floor.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, could she do the DC 11 to try to hit you? Because you're completely concealed.
She would need.
She's aware of your presence.
She would need to know what cell to target.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Okay,
and that and that's just the perception against our passive stealth.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Okay. I mean, I guess she'll load her crossbow. She hasn't, and she will just ready in action. Because what else do you do? All right, poisoner number 4. She is going to take a 5-foot. Step to the west to flank Benson. Drop the crossbow, because that's dumb. And then take out the short sword. Stab. That's 3 actions, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Yeah. 36 to hit.
That hits.
Okay. So there's going to be 14 points of slashing. Pretty low.
That's going to be 1 point of slashing. Actually, zero because your armor with a liberating step on top. So steppity step if you'd like, Sir Benson Black.
Yes, I will actually step. Or do I want to step?
Step. I think stepping's fine.
Yeah.
See, I could step as well. It's not
double person sandwich.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. So I'm thinking of stepping northwest. That way I could strike the needler if I wanted to. Also, I'm less... The snipers would have to kind of get much further into the room to see us, which would also be a good thing.
You could also attempt to shove her into the northern square and then move in her place and be flanking.
That's true, like on my turn.
But is that movable terrain? Because it looks like a shelf there.
That's why I'd have to shove the one right in front of me if I wanted to get like a reposition sort of thing.
Toss her ass up on the table of chemicals.
Get out of here!
That's a double stuffed flank right there.
Double stuffed flank.
Double stuffed. Double stuffed.
Only at Outback.
That's an episode title if I've ever heard one.
I'm writing that down.
All right, so the I need you to make a fortitude save. However,
me or
yep.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because I guess you. Hit. Still.
I got hit. Yeah.
Tactically hit you, but
I crushed that shit. No, it's...
I'm sure. Okay.
Actually, stepping there was really
died, so
stepping there was really important because now you're not flanking against the golem.
Yes, that's a good point.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Poisoner number 5. This is the one who's clumsy. She's going to do the same thing, where she's going to drop the crossbow.
By the way, Benson broke her fucking ankle with his hammer on that crit.
Taking out the short sword and stabby stab against Grimshaw. She is clumsy, so a little bit less to hit on this. See if she can make it through. Total whiff.
Nice.
Second attack is 31, which still misses, right?
Yes.
Okay. Let's go.
Right, and Grimshaw, it is your turn.
All right. So I think I'm okay. Here's the thing. It's like doing the math. If I used an athletics to shove, and then I did a step, then I'd get the off guard, but I'd be striking at the -5, so it'd be a net -3.
Wait, what are you trying to do now?
Okay.
You talked about shoving the poison in front of me so I can flank bank.
You can't reposition her. You don't have a hand.
He moved with his liberating step. It wasn't an action.
I know. I'm saying he can't shove her right now because you have to shove them away. They added reposition in the remaster to move people into adjacent squares. And you need to be able to grab them. And you have a sword and a shield.
Well, no, I have a Morningstar that has the trait shove.
Oh, well, you can't shove it because it's a person in the way now.
Okay.
You can't shove it.
So either way.
Shove is now away.
That makes zero fucking sense.
Like, you shove is away, reposition is move them.
Yeah.
Right.
They added that because shove, remember, we used to play shove that way because it was ambiguous. It was like, well, I don't want to shove them straight. I want to shove them over there.
They added
a whole new action to athletics for reposition. Clearly,
That's what one of the Chowder Cobb dragon things. They had golf club swung Benson into lava with that because it was funny.
I think you're the only one laughing, Jig.
I'm gonna change up my strategy, and I'm going to do a what is it? What's that word? My brain. It's something where you kind of like, ha-ha, you kind of fuse deception to ha-ha out of the way.
Faint.
You know, faint, there it is.
See? That's when, so Grimshaw's going to take the basketball to the net. He's going to break some ankles.
Exactly. Yeah. So use my deception, which I am a master of deception.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Glad I wasted that roll. 27 against their perception DC.
That is That is actually a... Hold on. It was a 27?
Yeah.
A critical success, in fact.
Really? Okay, no, so their perception is only a plus 7?
No, so sorry, so...
It's 10 plus their perception bonus. God.
My brain, too. Yeah, no. Regular success.
Pretend like it was great. A crit, though.
It would have been nice. So yeah, your throwaway was actually a success. There you go.
Hey, that's perfect. Thanks.
They're too busy focusing on their poisons to notice anything else.
Uh-huh. I'd be like, hey, look over there. Do you see that man? That's the one that wears the cloak. You will not live to ha!
And then I strike the right star. I thought they were happy and safe with their crossbows behind the golem, and the two fucking champions teleported into their crossbow.
Two fully armored knights appeared in between all of them.
Right. I just hate when that happens.
It's a bad Tuesday.
So I'm trusting that with them being off guard, that a 29 hits.
Yes, in fact, it does.
Yes. Wow. I'm glad I fade you, because that would not have been good.
We need your death drinker right here.
Oh, I don't. I do. Desperately. Come on. I'm feeling max on these D8s.
Get some damage. Get some damage in here.
Oh, wait, that's a D10. I don't roll that one. I was like, I got a 9?
I rolled a 9 on this D8.
One of them was a D8, 8 on the 8. Thanks, Gamers Nexus.
I would hope one of them was a D8 on 2D8.
That's 17 points of bludgeoning damage.
All right, bring her down.
Keep swinging.
I only have one action left.
Oh, yeah, you raise don't have shield. My feet where I don't have to raise a shield.
Yeah, I need to raise the shield, because they've been hitting hard, so I'm going to last action raise shield. Unfortunate, but gotta do what you gotta do.
Yep. Okay. Top of the round, round 4. It is the sniper's turns.
I think the only one that can see is Elkwood. No. Which is unfortunate.
Elk's around a corner.
Nope. Yeah. Elk and Kez are both around a corner, so they cannot. There's also, like, the hallway they're in sort of angles downward anyway.
Uh-huh.
So there's really no visibility there.
They can see the golem.
Yeah, they can see that. Let me just make sure. So they want to get to about there, and that is that much. Okay, so she can get here at the mouth of that that hallway, but that is two actions for her. So she will take one last action to shoot Benson back of the head. No, actually, that would be within volley because she has a longbow, so she'll shoot Gripshaw instead. tactics. Doesn't matter, miss anyway.
Yay!
Very low roll.
Wasted that turn, which is huge.
Second one is going to come up and do the same.
I don't think that one can get me in line of sight.
Nope, still shooting. No, you're too close anyway. They want to hit something without their volley, because volley is a -2, and they don't...
Yeah.
They need everything they can get with you armored bastards, so... 39 to hit you, Grimshaw.
Yeah.
14 points of piercing.
One point of piercing, retributive strike. You're within 15.
But the enemy's not in
right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. That was their turns. Elkwood, Grim.
Okay. How is this golem looking exactly?
He's starting to wobble a little bit. It looks like he's having some trouble moving some gears.
Because I guess he'll keep targeting this thing. I mean,
you have to take it out. There's no.
It's just like I was thinking about running up and using my bam bam stick because the bludgeoning, I mean, the D10s over D8s. I mean, he'll do that. He'll run up to the alchemical golem.
Okay.
Quick draw for the striking gray club.
Nice.
And smash its kneecaps.
I love this.
Yeah.
He sees the void of where Benson and Grimshaw left, and he's like, well, I guess I'll start. And, that is a 31 to hit.
That's it.
Okay, let's do some damage.
Ooh, man, come on.
Big damage.
Yeah, that was a 10 a 7, an 8, and a 5. So that's 36 points of bludgeoning damage.
Wow. Okay, wait. Okay. Real quick, how is it that much, that many dice?
I have the 2d8s from my hunter's aim, and which is my skill set, and then I have it's a striking great club, which is 2d10.
Fucking go off, King. Let's go.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
D10s are like my favorite, like, large size die. Oh. Like, D12s are too much in my opinion, because, like, I don't know. It's like too big, but D10s are just the perfect amount.
Yeah, yeah. D12s are trying too hard. Like,
yeah, really.
One
yeah.
on a D12 feels just awful.
That's why I would,
like, barely tolerable, but getting yeah. one on a D12, you're like, why do I play this game?
You know what? I'll take it. He'll swing again. That's a 15 on the die with a 15 to hit, so that's a 30.
That's a hit, my
friend. Break this fucking thing down, dude.
However, I don't get the Hunter's Edge anymore, so that is 18 points of bludgeoning damage.
All right.
Still up.
Yeah, unfortunately.
You're doing good work, man.
It's so close. It's so close.
Frustrated. All right, that's it. That's it.
All right. Speaking of the Needler, it just got smashed by you, so it's going to turn its eyes on you. As you're hitting it, you can hear from the brain inside the jar. It's like, whoa, stop it, please. Oh,
I'm innocent. I wanted to be a doctor.
You're kind of there.
There's a 40 to hit, Elkwood.
Fuck. Oh, that is a crit.
Alrighty.
Wait, no, I'm sorry. It's not a crit, because I forgot my AC is 31.
Oh,
I was thinking of Kezra. I don't know why. Alright.
I'm Kezra. I'm Kezra.
My AC is 28.
So it's going to be, I'll just cut this in, I'll just cut this in half. So it'll be 14 points of piercing.
Okay.
And then an additional 5 electricity.
Electricity.
It's electric.
I'm glad you're thinking that, John.
Second attack is 34 to hit.
That certainly hits.
17 points of piercing.
You don't have, I guess you don't have Withering Step yet.
No, it's just I'm not in range.
Yeah.
And an additional 8 cold.
Oh.
Chilly. It can't do fire damage anymore, can it?
It cannot do fire damage anymore, but
that's why I remember.
That was a natural 20, though.
Ooh. Yeah, that sucks. Ooh.
Yikes.
That's bad. That's really bad.
Oh.
All right.
What type of damage is
I mean,
is
I'm
this
still
piercing?
In triple digits.
Yeah, it's all piercing.
I'm still in triple digits.
Painful poke. Target is stunned. Yep. 1.
That's fucking bad.
Critical damage. 50 points of piercing.
Right.
Wow. Oh my gosh.
And an additional 11 cold.
Ow.
That's so much damage.
Yeah, I went below half pretty quick.
I feel like you went up and you smashed this thing twice and it just reached out its hand, quivering because it's almost dying, and it just pierces right into your fucking chest.
Oh yeah, it definitely did. That last one hurt like mofo. Yeah.
When I was prepping for today, Hannah always comes in, like, looks at, like, what we're doing, and she saw the needle there, and she laughed at it. I was like, yeah, the brain in the jar is kind of funny looking. She's like, no, I just thought about, like, the needles, like, clacking against each other as it, like, walks.
Tick, 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 tick.
What's your stealth rule?
Really, really, really disarm the whole scariness of it.
Well, I mean, it's a goofy looking creature.
It's really goofy looking.
But yeah, after this turn, Elk is not looking good. He is, like, his skin's, like, frosting over in certain spots where he was injected with, like, frost, I guess. Liquid nitrogen.
Liquid nitrogen,
I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Straight up liquid nitrogen. Yeah, so he's, and, well, you said stunned. Well, actually, that works, because then he's, like, freezing. Like, his body is...
Yeah. Poisoner number 2. It is her turn. She's in the center of the room. She would still have... she did not drop it, because it wasn't her turn when you guys... Because her turn hasn't come by yet when you guys teleported in. So she would still have her crossbow. And I think she shot her with her last action. So she will reload and then try to shoot. She has a pick. She has a pick of everybody here. Who's she going to choose?
Oh, yeah.
Sniper, obviously. Trying to show her up. Yeah.
No, that's my job to shoot people. She sees Elkwood.
No, she doesn't.
Hammering away. Shot with crossbow. 37 hit.
Yeah, it hits.
Ugh.
20 points of piercing.
Okay.
Still. And make me a fortitude save.
Okay, 36.
Alright.
And crit success.
Yeah. Whatever.
I squeeze the poison out. I flex it out.
Alright. Last action to reload. And she's going to stay right there in the middle. She likes her spot. Kezzer.
I'm very torn on what to do right now.
You could use Rod of Wonder again.
No, I can't. I can't use that for 1 hour.
Oh.
I could attempt to do a bunch of damage on the poisoners, or I could do something kind of crazy and kooky.
Ooh.
We are a fan of crazy and kooky here on this podcast.
Especially if Hezra is crazy.
I don't think there's a bad answer here. I'll do crazy and kooky. I already collected the transposition. That was crazy and kooky. This is going to be just as crazy and kooky. Kezra is going to cast Telekinetic Haul. Which allows me to lift something of 80 bulk and no longer than 20 feet long. So literally anything in this room.
I'm going to grab
this big-ass alchemist table behind Grimshaw and Benson.
Yep, it's about 15 feet wide.
And I'm going to jam it in the hallway with the sniper so they can't get in.
Dude.
Whoa.
And it is a sustained spell, so I can hold it there magically. They would have to resist me to get through it.
Gotcha. Okay.
Or destroy the table.
Yeah. They would have to be able to hop over it because it's obviously not as wide as the hallway, but you completely block their vision until they decide to do something.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's vertically just jammed in there as I can get it. It's going to provide cover at that least.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I like it. That was so neato. I'll give you air point.
That's a good idea.
Hey, did you hear that, Cal? Air point.
I like crazy and kooky.
Yeah. That's
what being a hero is all about.
Put that on a mug.
And last action. Last action, I will
drink a cold Bud Light.
Drink cold Bud Light.
Good work, Kezra. Thanks, Kezra.
I will step back. I suspect Elkwood is going to retreat, and I don't want to be a target of that golem. So yeah, I'll move back.
Okay.
Oh, I can pretty far back because that spell.
There's a long hallway there.
120 foot range.
Okay. Okay. Sir Benson.
So here's the thing. I can get behind the snipers. What do you guys think?
How blocked do they look by this table?
I mean, it would take them. I would say they would have to use an action to be able to squeeze out. I would say that they don't have good enough vision to be able to get to shoot from where they are, because your intention was to block the hallway. Mm-hmm. So to me, they can't shoot from behind it, so they will have to get in front of it in order to get out.
Okay. I love that idea, but if Elkwood just took the hit that he did, I don't think Benson would.
Right.
I fucking love the idea of teleporting behind these guys right now.
Oh yeah, boxing them in.
Yeah, because they'll have to switch tactics. You're within their volley. They'll have to switch to like hand-to-hand combat.
And these guys probably have no hand-to-hand. Nothing.
Right.
You know?
It's a fucking
We would get pretty spread. We would get pretty spread out. These poisoners aren't going down as easy as I think any of us thought. And there's another one down there if they can ever see us.
So my current thought is,
if they could ever see you,
my current thought is attacking the golem because I need to get this thing off Elkwood. What do you guys think?
I It's like, I feel like I should be focusing on the golem,
yeah,
and you should do your kooky idea and teleport and just put pressure.
I think Benson should step right behind the golem, get a hit off on the golem, and then turn around and get a hit off on the one that you're fighting.
Yeah. Huh. I mean, because that one's already taking damage,
that's
too.
That's true.
So.
Yeah, the golem and the poisoner directly to the east of me have taken tons of damage.
That's what I will do.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I will do. Okay, so swinging on the golem. 10, 15, 21.
36.
Wait, do I get flanking?
Yep.
Yeah.
You will get flanking.
Yeah. 38.
38. That's a hit.
Oh, thank God.
Oh, yeah. It's like, it's bad and it's good when a vial gets destroyed.
We know. We just like, low, so we want to go down by regular hits at this point.
Yeah, it was, I'll tell you, it was one away from being a crit, so it would have been really funny.
Twenty points of bludgeoning damage.
Describe your kill.
Yes.
So this thing, it's like vile. Its fingertips needles are in Elkwood. Benson sees it and he fucking runs. He doesn't care about the poisoners anymore. He just he knows he needs to get to Elkwood, and he smashes this thing behind its knee. And as it falls, he leaps up and just smashes the fucking brain. The containment with his hammer. And then he's gonna
hear it screaming.
Then he's gonna turn around and tag the poisoner right behind him.
Love it.
All right.
Oh, six on the die. That's probably not gonna hit. So, no, that's not gonna hit.
Okay. All right. The poisoner number three. She is the one who is blind. She keeps screaming,
dispel it! Dispel it, somebody!
That is...
They're like, who?
I never thought that the rod would be this useful.
Right? Yeah, for real.
An actual darkness spell would be kind of chaotic for us, too, but a fake darkness spell that affects one person and takes them out of the fight is perfect.
I will say this. She appears to be trying to like step through the darkness, so I'll say she gets about 10 feet into the darkness. You can see she's like trying to step her way through, but you don't know what she's doing. It looks like she's trying to navigate it. Meanwhile, the snipers are just like, you fucking idiot. There's no darkness. Oh, you fucking eyes.
They're like walking with a knife and a hand out.
Yeah, exactly.
She steps another poisoner.
Knife out in front of them, swinging it back and forth as they're walking.
What are you doing?
All right. Poisoner number four. It is her turn now. There's no flanking advantage here. I think she'll just step up and she will try and stab Benson. Short sword. 38 to hit.
Is that to me?
Yes.
That'll hit.
Okay. 16 slashing.
How about we liberate some of that damage?
God bless you, Tim.
And bring it down to a cool zero with your armor reduction.
Mm-hmm.
And you can step. If you want to step right next to the one in the middle has their crossbow out. I don't know if that is a boon or not. Because there'd be... we don't have tax opportunity, which is unfortunate.
Nope.
But you can step if you want to step.
If I step... That's probably going to get me out of the volley range of these guys.
Oh, the vol... Right, the vol...
But you want to be close to them.
You want to be close.
If they have the volley trait, they take minuses to their
two
attacks.
Yep.
If you're too close to them.
I'm still thinking about just teleporting behind them.
And then I'm going to step to the south.
They're
going
to come
my
to you,
options
man, at this point. I forced them to come into the room.
All right. Make me fortitude save.
Took no damage, though. I liberated damage, and then Benson's armor took the rest.
You still have to do it. Think of it like it grazes your skin, doesn't do any damage, but still.
15 on the die, cross that ship.
Yeah, so, yeah, when it says, let's look at this right now, actually. So, injury for, that's what the poison is applied with. Uh-huh. An injury poison is activated by applying it to a weapon or ammunition. It affects the target of the first strike made using the poisoned item. If the strike is a success and deals piercing or slashing damage, the target must attempt a saving throw against the poison.
But it did not deal piercing or slashing damage.
On a failed strike, the target is unaffected, but the poison remains on the weapon and you can't try again.
Mm. I think it's fair to say that since he hit me, it applied, even though you deleted all the damage.
Yeah, because there's probably some caveat otherwise, but you guys also aren't failing these, or you guys are also aren't. You're not failing these at all.
Right.
It hasn't even come up yet. All right. She will apply a dose of something and then stab you again.
How dare she?
So, yeah.
I say, how dare you?
As a miss.
I say, there's 12 herbs and spices in this attack.
All right. The poisoner number 5, this is the one who's clumsy.
Right.
I think she is going to... She can't get behind Grimshaw because he's backed up to a table. But
spend an extra action to hop up on the table. I mean, there's nothing wrong in that.
No. No, but she will actually go around and get behind Benson on the other side. So she walks all the way around to get flanking on you, Benson. Short sword, stab. She's clumsy. Total miss. And then a 30, which is still a miss on you.
Yes, it is.
Nice.
Grimshaw.
Benson, are you probably pretty hurt.
I'm doing fine.
You're doing fine.
Getting flanking and fuck this bitch up.
Yeah, so the one to the south, I can't really get in flanking unless I climb on some tables. So instead, I think I'm going to take a step to the south. I'm going to feint the one to the south of you, Benson. That way I can get the off guard. Come on. Fortune on the die. We already know that's going to crush it. Hey, might be a crit. No. It's a 35. I need to get a 37 to crit. So 35 regular success. And then I'm going to launch out with the Morningstar Milani. I'm rolling my chonkity chonk. Actually, by definition, yeah, there's a chonk, not a mega chonk. Okay.
You know, if you had stepped to the north and flanked that would have been a crit.
Well, the... Yeah, probably. Yeah, the one to the south though is so weak.
She's hurt.
Tons of hits,
and she's clumsy, so her AC is down. So.
Yeah, that's what I'm kind of banking on.
Yep.
Jeez.
Good lord, dude.
I know.
Oh, I rolled so terrible. It's a 25 clumsy and off guard hit.
So clumsy. Does not. does
oh my
not. In
gosh,
fact,
that's embarrassing. There's all my actions.
Alright. Sniper's turns. So the snipers, they are blocked. So I'll say that they need to get... So you're holding it up.
Yes, yeah, so I'm like holding it, pinning it as best I can, like actively.
Okay. So if they were to try to move it by chance, that would go against like your...
I would say spell DC.
Save DC? Spell DC, yeah. Do they even have?
I would say either an athletics or an acrobatics to get around this thing would be against my spell DC.
Right. All right. So the one that's directly in front will try the. Oh wait, let me make sure that's her. That is okay. So the one that is directly in front, she's going to try an athletics. So she's going to try to just like shoulder shove this thing like you do to a door. You know, you try to shove it out of the way. So that it's going to be 26.
Bail.
Okay.
Doesn't push.
Can't move shit.
It pushes back.
Alright, in which case she will try to just, like, wriggle around it. So she'll do a... would you say it's an acrobatics to get around it? Or we're... Okay.
I'm trying to block her like a goalie.
Okay. 28.
Fail.
Yeah.
Wow.
Just a fail. amazing.
Legit MVP right now.
Yeah, that was a good, amazing. Good check.
Incredible.
If this one can't get by it, then the other one can't even attempt. Or I guess they can't. Well, I don't know.
No, because they can't share a space.
They can't share the space if they fail the check. So I guess you couldn't attempt it. Because you're not going to be shunted back 10 feet for failing.
Right. That is true.
I think you have to be able to occupy adjacent space before you make an athletics or a shove.
Okay, so she can't do that. Okay, so the other one then is she wants to try to take a shot because like it's not like it's you don't cover the entire hallway. You know what I mean? So how about Benson gets like standard cover? What's the greater cover?
Yeah, there's a table and a person in the way.
Yeah, so greater cover then.
Whoa, so that's plus four.
Yeah, so. Yeah. So you were actually. On this one. Oh, yeah. you were actually just outside of volley range from her. Not the other one, but the.
Yep,
so the one in back. So she is going to shoot with the longbow at you. 39 to hit.
Jesus.
Plus four? That hits? Well, wait. Plus four. That just hits.
Yeah. Just hits. 14 points of piercing.
All right.
Oh, okay. It's swung back around.
Yeah.
Did you want to be liberated?
If you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, let's liberate you. You could take a free step, too, if you'd like.
You didn't do it on any of the poisoners?
Well, my turn is already swung back.
You can't liberate any step. It's the sniper.
Oh, my gosh. You're right. My bad.
All right. Oh, yep. Not,
my bad.
It's okay. I'm all right.
Just not used to have it, fighting ranged combatants.
I know. Last two are whiffs, especially with cover. In which case, it comes to Elkwood. Elkwood, how you feeling, buddy?
Not good.
Okay.
Not good, Bob.
No, it's like, you know, Kezra, like, turns, maybe looks at him. Elk's just kind of, like, looking back. Like, you know that time, like, if you're in, like, a walk-in freezer for a long time, then you step out. It's just this... Oh, yeah. Frost kind of emanating. It's basically that. And he's just like, kind of has like a half smile on his face. Like, I'm not doing well. But he is going to switch his hunt prey since he is stunned, unfortunately.
Okay.
Which one was hurt more? Was it this one?
The one on the south side. Yeah. That Scarlet Tribe Poisoner is not doing great at all. And she's clumsy.
Okay. So he's going to switch hunt prey to that. And to her and what is it called? Quick draw. The eclipse, because otherwise volley. But he's on a quick draw the eclipse. Chuck it.
Nice. I like to think after Elkwood like took this huge hit, he's like on the ground and all this fighting's happening. Benson hits the golem. He's like, stand up, Elkwood. Stand up.
He's going to. With a natural 20.
Oh my god.
Yeah. That needs a little encouragement.
Oh my god. I just needed. I needed Benson to yell at me.
All he needed.
So, what is that, Kelly? Because it is.
Which one are you attacking?
The one on the south.
All of them? The one on the south?
Yeah. This is versatile, too, so.
You do a slash.
Oh, yeah. It, piercing. Yeah, okay. It can be whatever you want.
Piercing or slashing?
Piercing or slashing. I don't know, slashing. Why not?
Oh, I'm so glad you chose this one.
Yes!
This is weird. Flat blades thwack. Whatever that means.
Huh.
Oh, triple damage. You can, you can do bludgeoning damage instead of slashing if you would like.
Oh.
Well, yeah, what did I do? Just chuck this star knife on its side and just
triple damage.
Bonk.
Triple damage.
Amazing.
Okay, I'm just going to roll damage normally and then triple it here.
Yeah, then triple it.
Because I don't think this... Wait, actually, no, I can't.
You don't triple the deadly.
I don't triple deadly?
No.
So roll damage normally, triple it, and then roll the deadly
d10. You travel the damage deadly... die, your precision damage, and the elemental damage, but not the deadly.
Okay, so it's actually Deadly D6 because it's a star knife.
Oh, right. So, okay.
So wonderful. So damage. Let's see. The damage right now is 23, so triple that.
69.
Nice.
Just for that, she dies.
No, she does actually. Yeah.
Yay!
She gets hit in the forehead, and then as she's dying, she goes, "Nice,
nice." You see the damage just comes up over her head,
like World of Warcraft.
It's like World of Warcraft or RuneScape, like with wavy letters.
Grimshaw like shakes his head. It's like, did anyone else see that?
That's the miracle. But yeah, no, he's just laughing maniacally. He's just like, hey, I'm near death, but man, this feels good. That's his turn.
All right.
Oh, no.
You did damage, right?
Huh?
You did natural 20.
No. That's only for the arrows.
Oh, yeah. With arrows,
well,
right.
If it helps, she's blind.
Yes.
As well.
Yes.
She's blind and she's also fucking dead.
Yeah. No.
She'll never see again.
Yeah, no, I'm standing at 37 health, by the way. So.
Oof. We got you, boy.
Yeah, that's why I was like, man, maybe I should just move into the room because at least they can do their retributive shit.
Yeah, and heal you. I want to heal you, but I don't want to give up this position.
Oh, no, this is fine. Kezra will...
I'm about to give him a whole snack, don't worry.
Okay, poisoner number two. She is going to... She wants to flank. She can't really flank. I mean, I guess she can stand on the body of her friend that just died. She has her crossbow, though. Okay, so here is what she's going to do.
Come on, be a bastard.
She's going to take a 5-foot step back. Shoot Benson with the crossbow.
Alright.
Oh. Miss. And she will drop it.
Drop it.
Give me the ball. And then she will take out the short sword. She had it loaded, so she had to use something. Anyway, Kezra, your turn.
All right, Kezra will start his turn sustaining the table. So really jam it in there. And with my last two actions, I will cast a fourth level blazing bolts on the two poisoners. Pew 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 pew.
Alright.
Alright,
there are three poisoners, by the way. It's not only two.
I can only see two.
Yeah, but that and the other one's blind. Well, blind, air quotes.
Okay, so the one north of the one that just shot Benson. I got a 37.
37, that is hit.
Yes.
Solid.
Alright, that's gonna be 25 damage.
Okay.
Nice. Yes.
And the other one, not as good, but should be good enough. 30.
That's a hit.
Sweet.
Nice.
28 damage.
Ooh. Very nice. Okay.
That's my turn.
After that, Sir Benson Black.
Do I do it, guys?
I think we could handle it now.
Before, like, but because you did. Did you sustain? I'm sorry, Keller. Did you sustain?
I sustained the table, yes.
So, between a Kezra and a Benson place, and then Elkwood, Kezra, Grimshaw, clean
up
here.
They'd be trapped in that fucking hallway with him.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Like,
just imagine. That's definitely great. Doing it.
All right.
I keep them there as long as you need them.
Like, all this shit is going down.
Oh,
Elk is currently alive. Grimshaw looks okay, right?
Oh, before you zap out of there, how are you doing on health? Like, did you want me to give you a slap on the butt before you pop over?
I got 3 digits.
Okay.
Plus you have, lay on hands too for yourself,
yeah,
right?
I've got pocket healing.
This is wild.
All right.
Plus you risk taking damage. Stay here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Benson looks at Grimshaw and he says, he puts his hand out real quick and goes, take these trash out. And he immediately teleports with his cloak of the mountain back
right
behind the snipers.
Okay.
Oh, so good.
Oh, you hear a scream.
For them to go.
Okay.
And he's going to start swinging.
Yeah, yeah. He can start swinging in one of them.
So the one obviously right in front of Benson.
Yep.
Natural 19.
Oh, okay. Okay.
19 plus 21, Tim, give it to me. 40.
40, that is hit.
Oh,
made you laugh.
It's all good. No, it's all good. It's all good. Stop. Yeah.
No, no surprise.
Right.
Somehow.
Yeah.
Nope.
He's not flanking with the table.
Yeah, the table's good.
I didn't consider
the wrong table there.
The table is Kesra's, so it's technically Kesra.
So that's going to be 17 points of bludgeoning damage with his hammer.
Okay.
And last swing.
The teleport's a two action thing.
Oh, okay.
So. Yep.
Right.
Poisoner number 3, the quote blind one. She is going to. You guys see this. She does not see what's happening, but you guys can see her wading through the what she thinks is darkness, and she gets into the hallway to the north, and she, as she gets out of the, quote, darkness, she runs behind the curtain, and you can hear her scream, "They're here! They're here! We need you!" That'll take us next time.
Oh,
great.
Oh, no. I
genuinely don't want to stop this fight. I want to keep going.
I know, right?
Hey there, everybody. I want to take a second just to talk to the dragons in the audience. Let me come out and say first that the thing with the whole punching, dragon punching, that's it's all business, right? You know, no hard feelings or whatever. But I'll make it up to you in this. What do dragons love more than anything else? That's right. Hordes of dice. And you can get them with a 10% off discount by using Dragon Punch Squad at checkout over on MistyMountainGaming.com. Head over there right now, check out the selection, and grow your hoard today. I'll see you in the next episode.